The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There was no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The chalice that I use belonged to my parish priest, the gray one there on the credence table, Father Norbert Laskowski. He died while I was in Rome, and through a series of miraculous, I think, occurrences, I inherited this chalice, and I use it almost every day. But I remember when Father Norbert was transferred to my family's parish in Rochelle Park, Sacred Heart. It was a Saturday evening, and I was an altar server, and he said, "Would you please put this on the table out there?" And I said, I took the chalice, I looked at it, and I said, "This is the ugliest chalice I have ever seen. It's gray, and it's just weird looking." And then I used to think, too, because there's an inscription underneath in the base to his mother, and Father Norbert was an undertaker before he became a priest. I used to think that it was made from his mom's ashes for some reason. But then before I became a priest, like I said, I inherited the chalice. His family, through a priest who was of the diocese, gave me the chalice. And it's now one of my prized possessions. I cherish it, and I remember Father Norbert every time I use it. In fact, if you look closely, you can see the way he held the chalice because his pink finger marks are left on the chalice. But anyway, I put a label on the chalice as ugly, weird, and I didn't like it. But now it is one of my prized possessions. We are a people who think who like to be organized, and we think that we can put labels on things, on people, on situations, because we're advanced. We want to be organized, and we think we are in control when we put labels on things and people. In the first reading, we hear very well that the 70 said, "How can these two prophesy? They were not with us." And the apostle John in the gospel, the same thing. How can they exorcise demons when they are not with us? It's they and us, labels. They do not look like us, they do not talk like us, they do not walk like us. How can they be normal? But are we the norm? I think some of you know that my favorite pastime in the evenings after a stressful day is to go to Walmart and people watch. And I go there, and it's a great stress reliever. Really, you should try it. If you can't go, you just go on peopleofwalmart.com, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But the other day, I went out for ice cream in Boiling Springs with some people from the parish, and there was a fellow, one of our parishioners, who I didn't know, and they introduced me to him. And one of the things he said was, I work at Walmart. And of course, whenever I hear somebody who works at Walmart, I tell them that I go there for people watching. And he really put me in my place, because he said, you know, Father, I've worked at Walmart, and now I've learned to see and perceive people. I was like, oh yeah? And he said, yes, because, you know, sometimes when they're pushing the cart, and the way they're pushing the cart, you can tell that they're carrying a great burden on their shoulders. He was only 21, 23 years old, and I was impressed. Here was I, a priest, you know, going there to people watch, and there he was, an employee of Walmart, saying, he could tell though by the way the people walked, they pushed the cart, the way they did their shopping, how stressful people's lives are. And that really put me to shame. We should try walking a mile in their shoes and see that we are not much different from them. That's how God deals with us. Huh? In the incarnation, God didn't just walk in our shoes. He walked in our skin. He became one of us to experience everything we experience except sin. The church must be, and Vatican II says this, the church must be a universal sacrament of salvation. A universal sacrament of salvation. What does that mean? It means that we are, a sacrament is an encounter, a tangible encounter with Christ through signs and words. It's an encounter. The church, we, the people of God, not just this building, must be a place. Think about that. We must be a place of encounter. Therefore, our Christianity must not be one of just one of the labels that we wear. Our Christianity, our Catholicism, if we want to be prophets, must be a way of life. A way of life in which we incarnate God in our flesh and in our actions. That's what we are called to do as prophets. Like in the first reading, no? Prophetism is not just for a select few. It's for everyone. God doesn't want a limited number of prophets. He wants everyone to be a prophet. In fact, I hope you know that you're a prophet. Because every time we are, during the baptismal rite, you know, when the priest anoints the head of the baby, he anoints that baby a priest, a prophet, and a king. We are all anointed priests, prophets, and kings. Let's live it then. John Paul II, I'll just give you an example. No, because today, the problem, first of all, today, many have the problem is of that we focus too much on our external strengths. Not just physically, you know, many people spend hours in the gym and they want to be physically strong, they want to give the impression of strength. But think, even putting labels on people, on ourselves, we think that we have the upper hand. But really, we have to see beyond these things. John Paul II, I was watching a documentary on his life, and some commentator said, he had an inner strength. Do we have an inner strength, or do we focus too much on external strengths? John Paul II, he was the Pope, and yet he was able to see beyond labels. He was able to see beyond the external appearances of people and see the dignity of the human person. He was able to see God in them. He had an inner strength. We pretend to have an inner strength, but really it's just all externals, and therefore we fail to be prophets. In the gospel it says, if something causes you to sin, if something causes us to be separated from God and one another, get rid of it. Jesus doesn't mean that literally, of course. He doesn't want us to maim ourselves or to blind ourselves. But really, if things cause us to sin, if we know that our pride, our attitude, our ego, our computer, our telephones, our gossip partners cause us to sin, get rid of them. It's just as simple as that. C.S. Lewis observed that almost all the crimes of Christian history have come when religion is confused with politics. Politics allures us to, and I'm not just talking about, you know, politics, governmental politics, the political mindset as well in the church is very dangerous. Why? Because politics allures us to trade away grace for power. And we all know this too well by now in the church. We see what happens when the church's shepherds become power-hungry, ambitious, and pleasure-seeking men instead of prophets. Let us never trade in our prophetic role for anything less. We are all called to be prophets for one another. We have to shed the labels that we have on ourselves and the labels we put on other people. We are called to be prophets for one another. Even the funny-looking people of Walmart at night, God puts in our paths to be prophets for us if we allow them to be. Brothers and sisters, we are all prophets. It's part of our vocation as Christians. Let's not, again, trade that for anything less. Let's live according to the standards of Christ. His standards are high, huh? Jesus is not wishy-washy. Let us not be wishy-washy ourselves, but let us hold on to Jesus and proclaim the truth. Let us live our vocation as priests, as prophets, as kings. Amen.